Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Tuesday, December 29th edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. We are joined, as we are each and every Tuesday in our third hour, by Stan Deo from StanDeo.com. Stan, it's great to have you back on the show. I know we got some interesting information that you found on a number of different issues, from the Antichrist to oil exploration.
Yeah.
So I want to turn it over to you, and we can jump right in.
Well, okay, I will direct the listeners, as usual, over to the StanDeo.com page and then down to the little microphone there where it goes, takes you over to the show images page where I have images that I talk about on the show. Of course, the kind of the high priority thing at the moment to me is a rehash of the candidates that I've seen that are leading candidates for the Antichrist of this age. It's not the false prophet, but the Antichrist. Now, if you noticed, oh, probably for the last couple months, I've had Mohammed bin Salman, Prince Salman of Saudi Arabia there. I've had President Erdogan of Turkey there, and I've had Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian general, there. Now, I decided that I would look at these guys again with a very critical analysis of the reported things that the Antichrist will be identified by, because he is going to be revealed somehow, and these are the things that we should be looking at and trying to see who fits them. Now, there's one kind of obscure relationship that he is from the tribe of Dan. Now, as you will recall, the northern 10 tribes broke off from Judah and Benjamin down in Jerusalem and went their own way. Most people kind of just assumed that the 10 northern tribes then immediately just scattered out all over the world from that point, but they didn't. There were three different migrations or invasions of northern Israel, and so the 10 northern Israel tribes, some were taken into eastern, east of north Israel, into Iran, Iraq, into the mountains of Iraq particularly, of Iran, and some were taken up into Turkey, and then some went by sea through the Straits of Gibraltar, went up to Daneland, what's it called, the Danish anyway, and then some went across from there into Ireland and to Wales. So we've got descendants of Dan in the Irish and Welsh community. We've got descendants of them in the Middle East of the Jordan, the old Jordan riverbed. So they're spread out in three different directions there, three different migrations and captivities. Some of them were captured and put into Assyrian territories. Some of them were part of the old Ottoman Empire. So, this is a very important factor if indeed the Antichrist is from the tribe of Dan. Now, there are secular schools of thought that say that Nostradamus said that the Antichrist would have the name Mabus, or they identified him with the word or name Mabus, M-A-B-U-S. Now, as a general rule, I don't find Nostradamus' prophecy interpretations, you know, highly convincing. However, the thing for the three Antichrists, he had one that picked Napoleon as an anagram of a word. That was pretty good. And the second one, he had the word Hister, not Hitler. And right. That was pretty close as well. Interestingly, Hitler was, of course, in Germany. And right close to there is the Danube River, you know, the Danes, or Dan. And they named that river, that's according to some reports. Anyway, Nostradamus. If we follow Nostradamus' thinking, then we're looking for an Antichrist powerful figure coming to the forefront now with the name Mabus. Well, sure enough, out on the Internet, there's a bunch of talk about the U.S. Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus, M-A-B-U-S. And his lineage is, that name is from Ireland, which would put him in the tribe of Dan. But if you look at him, you know, there are other prophecies that say he's the Antichrist is a prince, because he will be the prince that signs or ratifies the covenant between Israel and the many nations. Would you call the office of Secretary of the Navy a prince in the United States? Possibly. But, you know, even the vice president, would it be a question mark whether Ray Mavis could be the prince? And, it, you know, according to the research I've done in the book of Revelation about Revelation 13, where it talks about the identity of the Antichrist, be the number of a man, and the number of the man is 666, that definitely identifies King Solomon. So I'm certain that the Antichrist of this age, no matter who we look at and finally decide, is going to have the name Solomon, the nickname Solomon, the title Solomon, and probably in Arabic terms, Suleiman, Soleimani, something like that. Getting back to Ray Mabus, the Secretary of the Navy, I don't think that we're going to call him a Solomon. And also, you know, the Antichrist is supposed to, according to Daniel, to disregard the God of his fathers, you know, not honor the God of his fathers. And Mabus comes from a Christian background, and I really don't think that he's going to be disavowing Christianity. Politically, it just would be suicide, and it just doesn't look like this guy would do that. And also, I don't know why we would call Ray Mabus the Assyrian, you know, as Scripture says, a nickname for the Antichrist, the Assyrian. So there are a number of things about Ray Mabus that just don't fit. If you even look at the pictures of him, I looked at a lot of them over the week, and Daniel 8:23 says the Antichrist will have a fierce countenance. And if you look at Ray Mabus, no offense to him, he just looks like a normal businessman. He smiles and laughs a lot, and I tried my best to figure out what he would look like if he were angry and fierce, and he just doesn't fit the bill. I know that's probably not fair, but I just don't think that he's going to be the guy because he doesn't look like it.
Kind of like you, Stan. You just have you're just too good looking to have too good of a disposition. You know.
Thank you, old guy. You haven't seen me in the mornings, have you? You remember the pictures in Back to the Future, the video film of Dr. Emmett Brown, you know, the professor. And that's kind of me in the morning. My hair might not be that gray all over yet, but boy, if I don't comb it, it scares Holly to death.
One of these days, maybe I'll come to your house or surprise you early in the morning, get you out of bed.
Don't do that. I'll be grumpy, creaky, cranky. Don't do that. Terrible thing. You know, and another thing, too, the Antichrist is going to have people worshiping. You know, he's going to claim to be God and that kind of stuff. And Ray Mabus just does not fit that bill. It's not likely that... in fact, if you look at these columns I've got here on the show images page, you'll see in red, not likely, not likely. The guy that has the most not likelies is Secretary of the Navy Ray Mabus. Now, Mohammed bin Salman on the left and President Erdogan on the right, they each have one not likely as opposed to about six or seven under Ray Mabus, as far as I've gone so far. So I'm going to now go to the second most likely to be the Antichrist, and we'll talk about him. Now, that's Prince Mohammed bin Salman, Saudi Arabia. He's been on my list up there for, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks. I did do some further research over in the Arabic websites put out, you know, by the Saudi government, and which, of course, answers to the Saud family, which is where Mohammed bin Salman comes from. And I find that he is not the sixth son of King Salman at all. King Salman, his father, is the sixth son of his father, but the journalists made a mistake. There's like 13 children to deal with that his father, King Salman, had. So, and bin Salman is probably seventh, or eighth down the list. So it's not, we can't count that as a 666 thing. However, Prince Mohammed bin Salman does sit on the Six Nation Gulf Council, which is called the Gulf Cooperation Council, which is an Arabic union of six states, Saudi Arabia, you know, Qatar, and all those. You can see it on the internet. Just look up, you know, the Gulf Cooperation Council. You'll see those six states. Excuse me. Now, okay, he's probably the biggest and most powerful seat on that council, and okay, there are six of them. Now, he may derive a 666 from that, I don't know. But Prince Salman, Mohammed bin Salman, was born on the western side of Saudi Arabia in a town called Jeddah. And Jeddah is where the Islamic Development Bank is headquartered, and he has some connections with that, which would give him an economic vehicle to go out there and create, you know, the cashless society for the planet, because this Islamic Development Bank is a clearinghouse for all kinds of other banks in the area worldwide. They're a bank clearinghouse, not individual checking accounts so much as a world banking system. So he could use that and the people of it to let his false prophet, the second beast, come and create the world government. Now, as far as Nostradamus' opinion, you know, or about Mabus, I did find a rather surprising coincidence, shall we say, that does tie Mohammed bin Salman to Mabus. I was looking at one of the many news articles I've been reading on him over the past few weeks, and one of them identified Prince Mohammed bin Salman as MBS, Mama Baker Sierra, MBS. And that was the short form, because there's another Mohammed in the ruling family there in position, and his initials are MBN. So MBS is Mohammed bin Salman's major initials, and they use that. But he is after he's on the seat of the Gulf Cooperation Council, which is a union of Arabic states of the Gulf region. So if you say that's an Arabic union, actually it says Arabic union, it's Arabic, I made a typing error there. The first letters of those two words are A and U. And in keeping with Nostradamus, it's typically a clever way to arrange the words and misarrange the letters so you have to know what you're looking for. If you put MBS, the consonants, on one line, and underneath it you put the vowels for Arabic union, AU, it spells MABUS. So, Okay, maybe Nostradamus picked Mohammed bin Salman as a uniter of you know, an Arabic union. I don't know how many countries will be involved in that in the final analysis, but he is pushing for that. Now, okay, Daniel 11:22-32 talks about a covenant being ratified by a prince of the covenant. Now, Soleimani at the moment, Mohammed bin Salman is a prince. He's second in line for the throne under his father, King Salman. Now, he has a cousin, I think it is, that's number one pick for going to the throne if his dad dies. That would still leave Prince Mohammed bin Salman as a prince, but he has more power as a prince than you know, anybody figured he could ever have, and he's gaining power in the regime. So in essence, he may outstrip the power of whoever is the king, whether his father or his cousin is. He may go beyond that and be the Antichrist and get power on a global scale, because he just has connections everywhere, and he's only 30 to 32 years old. Good looking fella. He has a very mean temper, though. Apparently, you know, behind the scenes, he's nasty. And I tried looking at him too to see if he looked like, you know, a fierce countenance. And there aren't many pictures that would even give you a clue to that. There are some where his dead eyes look at you, but it doesn't look like mean in the photos. Maybe that's because they don't let those get published. I don't know. But anyway, so he could be the prince of the covenant, of a future covenant coming. And you know, he could look like, a fierce countenance if he tried. Look at Daniel 8:23 for that as well. Now, Solomon, you know, is a derivative of Solomon from Revelation 13:18, as I mentioned a while ago. Mm-hmm. And you know, Solomon was known not only for his wealth but his wisdom. Now, young Prince Solomon that we're talking about here, you know, he's only got a few billion dollars. I'm not sure exactly how many, maybe 40 or 50, I think, at the time. But he has authority over the treasury there for the Saud family and for Saudi Arabia, which might be be as much as $17 to $18 trillion. They're very, very, very rich. Now, maybe he's clever. This remains to be seen. You know, Solomon was wise, and Revelation 13:18 does say, here wisdom is, 666, the number of the man. I don't know why young Solomon would pick 666 yet. I'm still tossing those around, and will be for some time. Understand that I'm not saying any of these guys are the Antichrist, but they certainly stand out, and these factors that I'm bringing up are things people should be looking at the news at trying to identify, reveal the Antichrist of this age, because once that's done, or at the same time, the rapture occurs, you know, and it's the beginning of the tribulation period. So it's important for Christians to look at this. Now, here is something that's not widely known. Now, in Saudi Arabia, there's a ground rumor, you know, going around through the population of the people that the Saud family are not really Arabs, that they are descendants from a Jewish merchant in Basra in Iraq named Mordecai ben Ibrahim ben Moshe. Now, I've tried to find anything to prove that, and it's still very much not provable. It's rumor. A guy that was publishing that in Saudi Arabia, pushing that rumor forward, was assassinated not long ago. So we assume the Saud family wasn't happy with that. Now, the Saud family are Wahhabi Muslims, and this is different, you know, than the Sunni or the Shiites. They're just not... They don't follow Islam as others do. Now, this might mean that the Saud family are going against the God of the Fathers by branching off from Islam too far. I don't know. But if the Saud family truly were descended from a Jewish merchant in Basra who posed as an Arab and came in and acquired a lot of land and power in Saudi Arabia now, if that's true, then is Prince Salman, or is he a descendant of the Saud family from this Mordecai ben Ibrahim? And is Mordecai ben Ibrahim a descendant of the tribe of Dan? Well, certainly, there was a migration of captivity in Assyria that included Iraq and Basra that did take the tribe of Dan. There's documented evidence to show that part of the tribe of Dan ended up in Assyria. So that would then call him the Assyrian, if he was related to that. And certainly a descendant of Dan, if this Mordecai ben Ibrahim turns out to be the real progenitor of the Saud family. And this rumor is being used to advantage by ISIS, because ISIS said, look, the Saud family is the head of the serpent. You know, the serpent is the flag of the tribe of Dan, because the serpent nips at the heels, you know, as it says in the Bible. And so ISIS says we need to get rid of the Saud family because they are Zionists. They call them Zionist Jews who are running Saudi Arabia and ruining Islam. So this is a very important factor and needs to be followed up, you know, as some of the other major factors for the Antichrist should be at this time. You know, if he's Islamic, if Mohammed bin Salman is Islamic, which he is, a Muslim, then, and he's also a descendant from a Jewish family, then he has gone against the God of his fathers to follow Allah. But, you know, if you're a Muslim, you'd say that's the same thing, but I don't. I think that the Allah is different than the God of Abraham. Okay, now let's see. Oh, back in the... Say again?
I just want to ask you a question, Stan. Why, or could it be, I'm trying to think how to phrase this, why not Obama, for example, as the Antichrist?
Well, because trying to make him a descendant of his ancestors being from Islam or from trying to make his ancestors from ancient Assyria, or trying to make his ancestors from the tribe of Dan, is a very big stretch. Now, there was one report of a tribe of Dan being taken into captivity into Egypt, and they went down the coast into Ethiopia, which is getting closer to Kenya. And that might be it. That might relate him to Dan. But that far down is not part of ancient Assyria. So why would we call Obama Assyrian? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And that's interesting. And I know the biblical qualifiers are important here. And I understand that.
In the Garden of Eden, you try to get all of the qualifiers. You got to try to fill them all, not just some of them. And even there, you might make a mistake because there might be something we're missing in some of the scriptures.
True. Okay.
Obama. Yeah. What are the things about Obama? Okay, he does have a fierce countenance at times. He does look pretty gripey. Let's see. I've seen the derivative of Mabuse from Obama, which is a real stretch. But anyway, I have seen the arguments on that. Let's see. Well, of course, he could be ratifying a covenant, but why would we call him a prince when he's a president? You'd think it'd be a king or something like that, not a prince.
Very true.
Okay, now, disregard for the God of his fathers, Obama. Is he Islamic or Christian? He says he's Christian, but yet he practices quietly. It looks like he's a Muslim. So is that fulfilling in saying has no regard for the God of his fathers? Interesting question, but, you know. Okay, now, so far, Obama has not declared himself to be God or want people to worship.
Yeah, I think just at the National Press Club dinner roast thing, I think he might have said something like that, but beyond that, yeah.
That he was God?
He implied that he was born in a manger, or it's some weird thing.
I didn't hear that. Well, then that's a maybe by Obama. He hasn't tried to change the times so much, but he certainly has tried to change the law. He's done that just by executive order time and again. So he's the Antichrist does seek to change the times and the laws and the law. So, okay, Obama might be that as well. Does Obama deny that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God? Don't know. If he's a Muslim, he probably would call him a prophet, not the Son of God, but he's not admitting that yet. Let's see, what else could we test him on? The Assyrian link is gone. He can't do that. Possibly Mabus, okay. Tribe of Dan might be a stretch, but it's possible. I don't know that we'd say that he has the wisdom of Solomon unless he ends up destroying America and getting away with it, and then, you know, the Muslim community of the world would say he's a very wise and clever guy. But yeah, I guess we could put him probably more likely than Ray Mabus, the Secretary of the Navy.
That's true. The other thing, Stan, I was considering this. Okay, now, I'm just tossing this out there. We're just talking around the kitchen table. You know, I mean, look, I don't have a clue. But when you look at the myth of the Merovingian bloodline, you know, that.
Yep.
All right, so you start to consider that, and then you start to think about the DNA, about the lineage. Okay, I kind of believe, and feel free to say, man, you're so far off base, because I could very well be, but I have a tendency to believe that we are going to be told that our Savior, that meaning the Antichrist, has been with us all along, and it's really a completion of the lineage of the from Jesus to the present, this perfect lineage where somebody through DNA typing will say, well, you know what, this man is a direct descendant of Jesus Christ, and he's been around the whole time. And so, okay, so I'm going to stop right there. And when you start thinking about the Merovingian lineage, and you start thinking about the various incestuous relationships of the Merovingian bloodline that include the royal family, specifically Prince William, and how he was conceived by way of Diana, who was a Windsor, and Diana perhaps was the commoner brought in, and you know, by her by her giving birth to Prince William, that completed the purity of the Merovingian bloodline. I know I'm getting going way into the weeds here, but I'm just kind of talking.
Let me just interject this. I know the Merovingian bloodline book and story and concept, but if they are claiming this guy to be a descendant of Jesus, it would be not Jesus as God, but Jesus as prophet, and Jesus was certainly not of the tribe of Dan.
True.
And he was certainly not an Assyrian.
True.
You see what I'm saying?
Double true, yeah. Okay, well, we'll see. I mean, thanks. I needed that smack, okay? You know, because sometimes you get so far out in the weeds, you know, I'm trying to think, okay, how does this work? And you know, as an investigator, I get this paralysis of analysis. You get so many, you know, data points, and you're trying to connect them all or seeing what connects, and you just kind of short-circuit yourself, as I just did. So you just witnessed an on-air short-circuiting, and thank you for straightening me out. So, okay, go ahead and continue, sir.
Oh, look, this is just scholarly debate, my boy, scholarly debate. I'm certainly, you know, open to challenges on this.
But no, I think, you know, your stuff, your research is very interesting. And by the way, I happen to see today, in passing, since you mentioned Mabus, and I got to tell you, man, I mean, this kind of freaked me out. After I got your email, I had printed it out today in preparation of the show, and of course, the subject line was Mabus. M-A-B-U-S, and on the History Channel today, talking about, and I know there are certain people going to love this, Hitler and the Nazis, okay, because every time I mention it, I got two emailers that, well, one actually, that sends me, you know, oh, not this stuff again. I cleaned that up. Anyway, they're trying to fit Nostradamus. Remember during Gulf War, they were talking about Mabus being Saddam, but you had to take out, you had to rearrange the letters and then substitute one letter with for another, and then you get Saddam. So anyway, I thought that was rather interesting. Interesting timing is what I'm getting at. Okay.
And while you were saying that, I was just thinking about that. The Nostradamus' first Antichrist was, you know, as I said, an anagram, really messed up letters of Napoleon. And, you know, okay, they put them all back together, and the argument was, okay, that was Napoleon, but he really rearranged the letters. Okay. Then you have Hister, and he misspelled it by the S and the T. You know, the T was out of place, and the S was not an L. But it was getting closer.
Uh-huh.
And the third one, he says, Mabus. Okay, is it going to be clean and straight, like it's exactly spelled as it should be, M-A-B-U-S, and there's no lost letters? That's what it is. The progression of how it got cleaner and cleaner might point to, you know, the Mabus being correct as it is, for those who are purists about Nostradamus' interpretation. I don't know. You know, I got a letter from a guy, oh gosh, probably 14 years ago, 15 years ago, and he was a Nostradamus fan, and he'd gone into looking at I think it's the 2nd century or the 9th century stuff about Nostradamus and the Antichrist and all that kind of stuff. For the life of me, I can't remember where I put it, but he was trying to say that there was a clue to the identity of a man who would write something or have something on his desk, letters, I think he called them, where it would cause the constable, and they think that's the Antichrist, to change his course of what he's doing. And he said to me, he said, this is talking, I think, about your book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, in your work. And because it says in that quatrain, and as I say, I do apologize, trying to figure out, you know, which one it was or where it was, but it says that, the first line, it says, the translator from Bork, in France, which is Burgundy, and my family, the Deo family, are from Bork or Burgundy, and I do translate a lot of stuff. And he said, because of that, I saw it described the letter is laying on the desk. It shows a picture of a single eye with red hair and white, you know, like hoary white hair and red around the eye, and it's the front cover of the Cosmic Conspiracy with that eye in the triangle floating over the Great Pyramid. And, you know, so I thought, well, okay, yeah, maybe it's a bit of a stretch. But as I, you know, as I look at these things to, over the last couple of days, I'm wondering, either I haven't written it or maybe I'm going to write it or something about this, the Antichrist in such a manner that it will cause him to change his course of action. I did think about this because I, as I was getting all the information in that email I sent you, I thought, if I put this out and say X is the Antichrist because of blah, 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 is that going to cause him some angst and he's going to change direction and be even worse or something? You see what I'm saying? I know that they have my Cosmic Conspiracy book. They had it in the White House during Clinton's administration and the, you know, the Department of Defense with Secretary of Defense Jim Schlesinger at the time. So I don't know.
Just thinking, I'd love to read the text of that defamation lawsuit against Justin.
yes. That would be interesting.
I mean, to me, this is fascinating because I do believe that we're living in that time, that critical moment in time in history when things will be revealed. But the other thing too is I believe we are all going to be surprised because isn't it even the very elect will be deceived?
If such is possible,
right?
And that is a qualifier, and it's up for debate. Is that because the elect will be gone, or is it the elect is really Israel, you know, the Jews? There are qualifiers, and it's still kind of a mystery to me to figure out how to make that absolutely solid, you know, that particular bit of prophecy, but bit of scripture.
Okay. Stan, I mean, look, we're just... Again, this is just a chat because we're all, you know. This is intellectual. Really, this is a great intellectual scholarship research that you've done. I love the way your mind works, and I'm not trying to. I mean, that's not false flattery. I just love the way your mind works because, and I try to anticipate what's coming next with you. Very interesting, the depth of the multi-leveled research you do, and it's pretty cool. It really is. So.
Yeah, well, I'll probably forget it all in a couple of weeks. I cram and then forget it.
Wow, but you know, you're kind of like a hunter. You know, it's really you're on the trail of things, and who knows, man? I mean, I don't know. Ah, wow. And the other thing too, I want to say because somebody had sent me a when you were talking about Nostradamus, somebody says, well, you know, about not a prophet. Of course, it's not a prophet. Of course not. And people do hear things not only from the Holy Spirit, but from the other side, the dark side too. I mean, Blavatsky and Bailey and others who are steeped into the occult. They I'm sure they got messages from you know the dark side, Satan and such. So
yeah, and that's why I put it in the questionable thing. Questionable category, but still, you know, I try to think out of the box to be fair about it all, and that's where we get. Back on the Antichrist business here, I haven't covered the President Erdogan of Turkey. Now, Walid Shobat has been talking about him and as well, and I think that. Really, this guy kind of beats out the young Prince Solomon, and he doesn't have the name Mabus or title as far as I can see anyway, so it's clean from the Bible. Now, he's talking about making an Islamic caliphate, which supports what ISIS wants, right? It's against what Saudi Arabia wants and what the United States allegedly wants. The Arabic nations that are Muslim want to have a consortium. I forget what the proper term is, like a council, a United Nations of Arabic states, Arab Islamic states, and they would each have independence but be part of this united structure of Islam and the Arab nations.
Confederation.
A federation, yeah. Now, you know, or perhaps a, you know, an Arabic union. Anyway, that would not be the caliphate, because what Erdogan is wanting to do is to form an Islamic caliphate where you have one caliph, or one prince, that's what caliph is, one prince in charge of all of the Arabic Muslim nations that are in that caliphate. They lose their independence and become governed by one central place, him being the prince. Now, that's a prince of the covenant if he does that, and he's pushing for that. Now, the country of Turkey absolutely, you know, worships, reveres King Solomon, the legends. They even had a long-running TV serial on it there in Turkey. I talked about it in 2014 when I gave a lecture and talked about Solomon and about Turkey. There was I think it was a Channel 10 or something like that in Turkey, where the journalist, it was a woman, said, look, we need to build a temple of Solomon for the Jews to worship at on the Temple Mount, but not in the way of our existing buildings. So they're talking about making a solution to the Middle East peace problem with Israel by building Solomon's temple, not the temple, you know, of Herod the Great, but Solomon's temple, which is smaller. Now, okay, with this attitude towards Solomon, you can see how if the people of Turkey watch Erdogan pull off certain stunts that he's trying to do, he will be wise and he'll be wealthy and powerful, and he'll be like a Solomon. So they may call him a Solomon, or he may, you know, take the nickname at the time. Now, as I told you, there were three migrations or occupations, or not occupations, three migrations of the tribe of Dan, which were due to invasions and carried them away, and some just ran. And quite a few of them ran through Turkey on their way to other places in Europe. So the tribe of Dan has descendants in Turkey today. So I don't know whether Erdogan comes from an Israelite lineage, you know, from the tribe of Dan, from somebody that passed through. If he did, well, that would be interesting. You know, who is the God of his fathers then? Is it Islam, Judaism, or Christianity? Because all three had, you know, that are in that area of Turkey. He's supposed to be, I guess, Islamic at this point, obviously, and he's siding with ISIS. So is he going against the predominantly Christianity-type-based religions that have been in Turkey, empires before, you know, there in Constantinople, or not? Now, he was born in Istanbul, which was also part of the ancient Assyrian Empire. That's a part of Turkey that was part of their empire, and that's where he was born. So he could have that Assyrian kind of lineage if he wanted to. Now, if you look at a number of pictures of Erdogan, he makes a very angry face just sitting there even. So, you know, he could have a fierce countenance if he gets, you know, angry as the Antichrist. According to Walid Shobat, and it's an interesting article to read, the proof of it on Walid's site, Erdogan has proclaimed himself to be God. And you can go and read Walid's documentation on that and see why he says that. You know, if he doesn't honor the God of his fathers and he claims himself to be God, okay. Now, he hasn't been wounded yet to death and been raised from the dead. But that's, you know, a future thing. None of these three candidates, or four if you count Obama, have done yet. Mind you, you have to wonder about Obama's scars on his head, what caused that, but still. Okay, now, Erdogan is now pushing to change the Turkish constitution, the law. And he's fighting the time, wanting to change the time so that he doesn't honor daylight saving. A small thing, but Daniel 7:25 talks about, you know, he'll seek to change the times and the law. Now, it might be the times meaning holidays instead, I don't know, but Erdogan kind of fits that bill, you know, more than Obama's aide does at this point. Okay, and Erdogan does see himself as the Christ, you know, as the savior for the world. So anyway, all those things put together, Erdogan is really coming out in front. In Daniel 8:9, it talks about the Antichrist, where they will have, he has countries to the south that push on him, and he got the east, and he's also, there's a pointer in there to the pleasant land, as I say in Daniel 8:9. Let me just read that to you because that's important as well, trying to, you know, figure out where he is. Let's see, had eyes, Mount Zion. Okay, and one of them came forth, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. That's his expansion, right? And if you look at Erdogan, south of him is, or sorry, east of him is Azerbaijan and part of Iran. South of him is Syria and Iraq. And Israel is also to the south, which doesn't fit toward the pleasant land unless it was going south, which it's not. It is, but it's not part of the southerly trend. So this didn't fit him as much as it fit Prince Solomon, who has Yemen, Oman, and the United Arab Emirates to the south of him. To the east, he has Iraq and possibly part of Iran and Jordan. Iran and Jordan, which is to his... between him and Israel, is toward a pleasant land if he expands toward Jordan. Anyway, these are all just picky little things, and I've put it up there so that you can see my references and think about it yourself and fill in the blanks and do what I'm doing here, make some kind of a chart so that we can you know, nail down these things and count them up and see, you know, who the guy is most likely to be. It's important for not only us, but those who come after us during the tribulation period to know that this guy is a bad dude, and one spoken of in prophecy. So we have to have these proofs now, before the rapture, and before the tribulation, because it's going to be useful in both time zones. You know,
what about the aspect of the Antichrist? And this is something to me that is being talked about more and more, but it has a tendency, I think, to be skewed, perhaps misrepresented, or not analyzed sufficiently, and that's the mark of the beast, the mark itself. I mean, we could address this very simply, or we could kind of, you know, take it apart a little bit. But what about that? Because I obviously, Stan, we could see where the infrastructure is there, and you know, cashless societies, no one will be able to buy, sell, whatever. I mean, I get all that, but the mark.
How could you buy? Does it say in prophecy? I'm just trying to think. Does it say that you can't buy or sell without the mark and the number, or the number?
Let me pull it up here. And let me see on your side.
You'll be forced to worship the image of the beast. That's from recollection here. I don't have my Bible here.
But receive the mark or the number, I think it says. And keeping your question, if it's or, not and, does that mean that there is a mark rather than a number that you can have of the Antichrist, which will allow you to buy and sell? Is that like for tribes? Maybe they get a mark because they're tribes and they don't know numbers, or you see what I'm saying?
Yes, and I just want to remind everyone listening, of course, back when they first issued Social Security numbers, people were concerned. Well, this is the numerical, you know, part for the mark of the beast, the number. And the UPC codes was another one. And so, I mean, we understand that.
All right.
Every iteration. Go ahead, Joe.
In Revelation, it says this, and he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Or.
That's Revelation 13:17, yeah.
Okay.
So, what is the name of the beast? What's the number of his name? You know, had the mark or the name or the number. So all three of those are, you know, examples of the cashless society, or, you know, how the world works when he's in power. In fact, you know, as well as the numbering and all this kind of stuff, on the website, my website, Show Images, in the top row on the right-hand side, there's just a little fluff piece that I mentioned there from the scientific news I get about the most human-like robot yet, named Nadine, and you can go to that website and see how it, you know, what Nadine was created by her doctor, you know, that built the robot and designed the face and everything and the hands. And she can answer questions, remember you, and do all that stuff. But now, is the image of the beast going to be a talking robot? Do you see what I'm saying?
Precisely. Exactly.
Now, Erdogan over in Turkey, Erdogan is big on having big pictures of him, you know, painted on buildings or hanging on flags or on the TV, pictures of Erdogan. You know, maybe an image of him is, you know, an image of him, you know, like a face or a talking robot or whatever. I don't know whether that image is going to come into the mark or whether the mark's going to be something totally different. Prince Salman from the Saud family, their mark, their flag is crossed swords underneath a palm tree.
Right.
Is it going to be something like that? Now,
Stan, let me throw in one more thing, because I know we're getting short on time. The number of the beast is that of a man, and it's 666. What is it? 600, 3 score, and 6. It is not 666, but 666 if we take it the scriptural literal. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Because a lot of people, and I know this back way back when, in the late 90s, saying, well, you know, the Hebrew equivalent for World Wide Web is, you know, www, and the Hebrew equivalent was www for 666, but like Joe said, 600, 3 score, and 6, which would be a 666 as opposed to 3 sixes, I think, or not.
Well,
it's up to you.
I mean, you know, if you write it as numbers or if you put it as words, it's still 666, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
The number of his name from Revelation 13:17. The number of his name. The number of his name. Yeah, well, I think the 666 in the Bible, in Revelation, is, you can decode that by looking in the Bible, where is a man associated with the number 666? And that was only Solomon, and that was 666 talents of gold every year. That's nearly 40,000 pounds of gold, but anyway, that's enough. You see, and if you try to use the Bible as the source to decode what appears to be, you know, in code, or representative, you know, abstract or whatever, it takes you to Solomon, who is wisdom. Here wisdom is, okay? And, you know, when you follow the clue there, it really is in the Bible, and there's no mistaking it. Everybody knew that. Even the Arabs knew that Solomon earned 600 or collected 666 talents of gold every year, you know, when the ships came in and stuff like that from other places I've talked about.
Eric, pass me the duct tape. My head's going to explode here, bro. Wow. You know, really, what an interesting conversation for a very interesting time in which we live. And this is interesting. I mean, we must be aware of the dangers and pitfalls, because, I mean, discernment, key, man.
Well, remember, look at Revelation 13:18, just one more verse after what we're talking about, after the numbering, it says, here is wisdom. Go look here, here's somewhere. Here is wisdom. Okay, Solomon is known for his wisdom. And, you know, other than Jesus himself, there was no other person that had wisdom attributed to his name other than King Solomon. And that says, let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. That's a number. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay, now what man had the number 666 associated with him in the Bible? Search it out. Only King Solomon.
Correct.
So, you know, that's... I think that is a clue that tells us, you know, that the Torah and the Old Testament, you know, it's called the Tanakh. There are three sections to the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and that's in the book of Kings and Chronicles about that 666. And it's just for Solomon. Anyway,
Wow.
I digress. But yeah. We have the technology to do numbering and cause, you know, e-commerce to be the only way you can buy and sell. And we can see that we're rapidly approaching a crisis with the price of gold and silver dropping, with the U.S. dollar devaluing, with world currencies kind of in upheaval, unemployment heavily around the United States and other countries for sure. We're being herded toward the need for a global new restructuring of the monetary system, one that people can't cheat on. And on that note, young King Prince Solomon is pushing the Islamic Development Bank there in Jeddah to solve the problem of fraud by people using, you know, fake IDs or email stuff. How are they going to solve that problem of fraud in money exchanges? And that's, of course, heading toward a numbering system on the body, you know, unique, so that it can't be picked up by some crook or something. You have to present that number ID on your body to some kind of a scanner somewhere. Anyway, those things do hurt us toward that direction.
Boy.
There's a lot to take in, I know. I just... Sorry about that, but that's...
No,
gotta
no,
do
this
that.
Is... This is important stuff, and I think... you know, the more I search, the more I really research, and prayerfully so, the more I can just see this coming, but yeah. The more I realize how much I don't know. I guess that's a way to put it.
Amen to that. I'm there too. It just,
Sam, we got less than a minute left.
And by the way, we're not going to let you come back until next year after this discussion.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah.
Quick question: do you expect anything from this solar flare? Earth-directed solar flare tomorrow?
Oh, we'll probably have some Earth magnetic field disruptions, and I think we've already had the ultraviolet impact from it on the day that the flare occurred. They are giving us a 10% chance of an X-class flare, which is better or bigger than an M-class for sure. This is only an M-class 1.8, but it was directed straight at us. It was certainly a halo event. This is something that we have to kind of put in the back of our mind, because for a quiet sun, for a low sunspot time of this 24 cycle, why are we seeing these sudden big flares and coronal mass ejections still? This is a question. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people must be looking at that, because when I try to get onto my SOHO site to check the data, the site's timing out. Their server's being hit by a lot of people now.
Amen, brother.
Well,
interesting.
Thank you, Stan.
Music's playing. That's it for us.
Happy New Year, guys.
God
Happy
bless,
New
Stan.
Happy New Year, too.
To you and Holly and the kids. All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Folks, we'll be back tomorrow with our...
Predictions Wednesday.
Yeah. Year in Review Prediction Show.
And our last show for the year.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.